Now, what a joy it is to gather together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We do it every week that we gather, but to do it on the day that we commemorate that specifically, and then to have baptisms, good time of fellowship together with the breakfast celebration, to worship in song, to look at the resurrection in the Word. It's just a lot of good things going on today, and it's a blessing to be here with you. Boys and girls are going to stay in here this morning. I'm going to need their help as we get into the introduction for today's message, which is going to happen really, really soon. But you know the phrase, you can't see the forest for the trees? You know, sometimes you focus so much on individual things that you lose sight of the big picture. And I want to emphasize today how important that big picture is, not only in the resurrection, but in our introduction as well. So, boys and girls, I'm going to entice you up here with some chocolate. But first, you got to come up and help me out. So come on up, and I need the boys and the girls to be in their own separate team. I need boys over there, girls over here. And we've got a little game. Then they can give it to me, because I'm not. Okay, so what we're going to do, could you throw me that? Here we go, yeah. Oops, that was good. Okay. So let's, Daniel, give me the next slide. You guys can sit down if you want, because there's a bunch of question marks. Well, there's three question marks there. And how well do you guys know people at church? How well do you know your friends? Like if I say, who's this? Do you know the answer? Yeah. What is it, Juliet? You don't know him really well, okay? Jody, who is this? Trevor. That's Trevor, okay? And who's this? Takumi? Natalie. That's Natalie. Okay, so you guys know each other pretty well. What I'm going to do is show you... Oh, I always heard this was going to work. Oh, there we go. Let's turn it on first. Look at that. Okay? Now, this is somebody that you know. If you get it right at this point, you get an Easter egg. If you get it wrong, then you don't get an Easter egg at all today. So you have to be really, really clear. Do you get anybody out here now? All right, let's look at one more. Jody, who is it?
Miley.
Jody, you have to go sit down. No. You can stay. Today is a day of grace. No, it is not Miley. Is Miley here? Oh. Okay. All right. How about next? Who do you think? Emmy, who do you think? It is Mia. Look at that. Very good. Okay, 1 point for the girls. Okay, ready? Next one. Who's that? Huh? Who do you think? Who? Who? Teacher Kenny. Yes. Wow. You guys are good. Two for the girl, but they've got lots more people too. So, okay. But this is going to lead in very well to the message today. Okay, guys and girls. Okay, next.
Oh.
Yeah?
Is it me?
It's you! Takumi, how did you know? Yeah, the little beauty spot. Okay, we got 2-1. Here we go. Wow. Are you all ready? Who do you think? No, it's not Miley. Everybody thinks they look like you. Okay, here we go. No, it's not Miley. Who do you think, Julia?
Quinn?
No, it's not Quinn. How about there? Yes? Emmy, very good. So, Mia, how could you tell? Oh, the part in the hair. Okay, look at that. Oh, you got a one before? Yeah, there it was. Very good. Okay, so, come on. All right, I'm done with this. Oh, there it is. Is it easier to tell who somebody is by looking at one little piece or all the pieces put together? All the pieces put together, right? So that's what was happening on Easter. The disciples had a problem putting all the pieces together because what happened 2 days or on the Friday before Easter? Called Good Friday. Like, this is really important church stuff. Yeah, Ryan, what happened? Jesus died on the cross. Where was the cross when Jesus died? Was it just like in some little prison that everybody was blocked away from? No, where was it? It was on a hill, wasn't it? And the hill was called Golgotha. And there was a big road that went right by, and all the people were going into Jerusalem, and they walked by, and they saw Jesus on the cross. And so when Jesus was on the cross, they put nails into his hands and his feet, and then to make sure that he was dead, what did they do? Do you remember what the Roman soldiers did with the spear? Yeah, ran a spear right up through his side, up into his heart. And so was he dead? Yep. So after he died, they took his body down, and what did they do with it then? What did they do with it, Juliet? They put it in a tomb, and what did they put over in front of the tomb? Quinn. A stone, like a little rock? Like a really big, huge stone, right? And then what did they do, and what did they put in front of the stone? Yeah, Jody? Guards, okay? And they were standing there. So like Jesus was like really, really dead, right? And that was the last thing that the disciples saw. And so they had a really hard time figuring out why the tomb was empty, because there's no really good explanation for it, is there? And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is how that one little piece of the crucifixion got in the way of them seeing the bigger picture. And so you guys helped me out a lot, and the girls won. So we're going to let the girls, I'll let the boys each have one. Okay, we'll go Ishin. You guys good at catching? You never make a cornerback. Oh, here you go. Okay, now, you guys, since you won, do we have enough for two for everybody? Probably. What's that? Give everybody one first, and then would you like to pass them out? Okay. Thank you, Juliet. You know, if there's enough for the boys to even have two, it is a Sunday of grace. Okay. Somebody wants to go back down? Even if you got a chocolate Easter egg? So what I don't want you to do is let your kids eat it here in church. What I'd really prefer is that you keep it in a nice warm place and then open it up on the way home with their pretty Easter clothes on. So how many more do we have? Do I have enough for everybody? Okay, let's do it really, really fast. Why don't you go past, how about if we have Mr. Crawford be the Easter bunny, and he can pass out the Easter eggs. So if you didn't get two, you can stop by and see if there are still some left over, but please make sure that they're all gone so that I don't get tempted to eat leftovers this next week, okay? Thank you, boys and girls. So that's what I want us to focus on today is how big the crucifixion seemed to the disciples. It was such a big deal that they just couldn't get beyond it. Even though Jesus had talked about rising from the dead, they just couldn't see it. And I want to look at some of the people that were confused on Easter because they couldn't see the big picture. And the first one is Peter. And I want to keep the screen up because there's something significant about the empty cross. We want to focus on the cross of Jesus, that Jesus is no longer there. Just a reminder that on the cross, our redemption was purchased. But through the resurrection, the cross is only a cross. So if you have your Bibles with you today, I want to look at some various places. First in Luke chapter 24, verses 9 through 12, and think about Peter. In verse 9 of Luke 24, it says, when they came back from the tomb, this is talking about the women that went early in the morning to prepare Jesus' body for the final burial. It says, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, that the tomb was empty and that they'd seen an angel there. And they told it to the 11 and to the others, and it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb, bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now it was after the crucifixion, the disciples went into hiding. They thought that they might suffer the same fate that Jesus himself had suffered. But early in the morning on Sunday, some women go together at daybreak as soon as the Jewish Sabbath was over. And they went to the tomb so that they could wrap spices and perfumes in amongst the linens that were wrapped around the body of Jesus. And as they're going, they're thinking that they're going to need some help because as the boys and girls helped us understand, there was a big stone in front of the tomb, much bigger than they were capable of moving. So they wondered what they were going to do. So when they arrived, they were surprised to see that the stone was already removed. And so they turn around and they run back to where the disciples were hiding. And the disciples said they did not believe because, verse 11, it seemed like nonsense. But Peter, curious enough, goes to see for himself, and he runs to the tomb, we see together with John, according to John's gospel. And Peter goes in, and he looks around, and he sees the linen on the slab where the body had been laid. And it says that he goes away wondering to himself what was going on, what had happened. It's like, I don't get it. What's going on here? Because Peter was focusing on the crucifixion. He had seen that Jesus had died. And he couldn't get beyond that. He knew the crucifixion, so the empty tomb, he couldn't connect the dots between the two. How many people have done a jigsaw puzzle recently? Okay, good for you. We have kind of a tradition of doing a Christmas puzzle every year. So our last one was just this last Christmas. But the most important part of the jigsaw puzzle is the box top, right? You want to know what the picture is that you're trying to put together. You see the picture, and then you try to figure out how the pieces go together to fit that picture. What the disciples were trying to do is trying to make sense of pieces without the box top, because they didn't get the bigger picture of Jesus rising from the dead. They were so focused on the singular piece of the crucifixion. Now, there's also another interesting thing going on in Luke's gospel that to me is further evidence that this is a true account. It's not a made-up story. Because who were the witnesses to the empty tomb? The women. We see that it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James. Now, if this were a false account, the people that perpetrated it would have made the witnesses men. Because culturally, at that time, women did not have legal standing. They were not considered to be credible witnesses. And so if somebody was going to put together a story of Jesus rising from the dead, I guarantee that they would have had their witnesses be men, because that's what was culturally acceptable at the time. But God doesn't pay attention to what our cultural acceptabilities are. God values women. And God chose women to be the first ones to see that the tomb was empty, to be the first ones to carry the news that Jesus had risen from the dead to the disciples. The greatest news was entrusted to women to share, the ones that society did not value. Women matter to God. When you look at the genealogy in Luke's gospel, women are present in the genealogy describing Jesus' birth. Women are surrounding the cross when Jesus dies. And women are the first ones to the tomb to carry the news to the disciples. And just like we saw today with the boys and the girls, the girls get it better than the boys do. And it seems to be the guys that struggled the most in putting the pieces together of the resurrection. It wasn't just Peter. Look at Thomas in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 24 and 25, it says, "Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it.'" It's Easter Sunday evening, and the disciples were still hiding out for fear of the Jews. There have been reports of sightings, but again, the disciples were still confused. Thomas had snuck out for some reason. Scripture doesn't tell us why, but he wasn't there in that room on that Sunday evening when Jesus appeared. They're in a locked door, locked from the inside, and suddenly Jesus is there. And the disciples are overjoyed. Jesus leaves, and a little while later, Thomas comes back, and the 10 apostles, disciples, tell Thomas, "You're not going to believe this, but we saw Jesus." And Thomas said, "You're right, I'm not going to believe it." He says, "Unless I put my fingers in his hands, and if I touch his scars," he says, "I will not believe." And this is the interesting thing, because belief is not a matter of ability. Belief is a matter of the will. Will I or won't I? And Thomas says, "I won't. Unless I can do this, I will not believe." And he thinks that they've seen a ghost or were hallucinating. But verse 25 tells us, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and touch the scars, I will not believe." We have decisions to make when it comes to the resurrection. Is it true or is it not? And we can look at evidence. And that's what I've done. I've looked at the evidence of fulfilled prophecy that the Bible, even in the Old Testament, as we saw on Good Friday and in the 22nd Psalm, and especially then in Isaiah 52 and 53, predicting much of what Jesus went through. Jesus himself telling his disciples that he's going to die and in 3 days rise from the dead. The fulfilled prophecy is evidence to me. The empty tomb, evidence again. What happened to the body of Jesus? The Jewish authorities, even the Romans themselves, would have loved to produce the body of Jesus to quench or squelch this uprising that was taking place. People making such a big deal about Jesus rising from the dead. If it weren't true, all you'd have to do is produce the body. This is in Jerusalem, where the Jewish leaders had a lot of authority and control, where the Romans had their soldiers stationed, and they could not do it. The tomb was empty, and there is no body. We have eyewitness accounts, people who said that they saw Jesus. And the thing that is the greatest evidence to me is the changed lives of people who said they saw him. Think of the disciples before and after the resurrection. Totally transformed people. People who fled in fear when Jesus was arrested, hid Peter, the head of the disciples, denying that he even knows Jesus to a slave girl. But yet after the resurrection, standing up before thousands of people, pointing his fingers at the Jews, saying, "You put the Son of God to death." Tradition tells us that all of the disciples, the 11 faithful, faced martyrdom for their faith, for the declaration, the proclamation of the gospel that Jesus rose from the dead. If it was a lie, would people go to their grave to promote a lie? I don't think so. But I have not seen the resurrected Jesus. I can't say that I know he rose from the dead. I believe he rose from the dead. The evidence seems overwhelming to me that he's alive. So we've got two things to believe, that either the resurrection is the truth or the resurrection is a hoax. And I think those are the only two options that we have, because the resurrection was promoted, promulgated, saying that this is true. And if people knew that it wasn't, then we're being deceived. Where does the evidence come down for you? For Thomas, death was so final. It was that one piece that he couldn't get beyond. And he couldn't see any kind of explanation. He was so focused on that one event that he was unable to see the big picture. But it wasn't only the men. It wasn't only the disciples. I want us to think very briefly about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, we also read about in John chapter 20. Mary was the one who had gone to the tomb at daybreak. She'd come back with the news that the stone had been moved, and when she told the disciples that, Peter and John rushed to the tomb, and Mary follows behind them. Peter and John go to the tomb, they go inside, they see that it's empty, they go back to the remaining disciples, but Mary stays behind in the garden, in the cemetery. And we read in verses 10 through 18 what takes place there. It says, "Then the disciples went back to their home, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They've taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they put him.' At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. 'Woman,' he said, 'why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher." Mary's in the garden. She sees the resurrected Jesus, and she thinks he's the gardener. I mean, what other explanation could there be? Because she'd seen him die. She had been at the cross. She had seen after he died, after he said, "It is finished," she saw the soldiers take his body down from the cross. They saw him, the soldiers, pulling the nails out from his hands, pulling his nail out from his feet. She had followed Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to the tomb and watched them lay his body in this tomb, wrap it up with cloths. She'd seen the stone rolled in front. What other explanation could there be that Jesus was dead? She was so focused on his death that she'd forgotten about the promises. Everyone was so focused on Good Friday that they failed to comprehend Easter. And they lost sight of the bigger picture. So the question is, what is that bigger picture? And I think it goes back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. See, we have this tendency to focus in on individual events. Things in our own lives that happen. And lose sight of the box top. But the box top is this, that sin entered into the world in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And sin has been expanding and developing throughout history. And we see it even now being expressed in murders, in slaughters, in wars, and we long for something to be better. God longs for that to be fixed. And he knew what was going to happen, so even when Adam and Eve sinned, he pronounced that he was going to fix it someday. But the problem of sin is so deep, so widespread, so horrific, that it would take something big, something spectacular to remedy it. That God himself, in the form of Jesus Christ, would come to earth. And that he would go to the cross and that he would die. And on that cross, the sinless Son of God would die for you and for me. He would carry our sins and accept the punishment for them. And in exchange for faith through him, our sins are forgiven. And then to prove that that sacrifice was sufficient, God raised him from the dead. The empty tomb, the resurrection, the empty cross is so significant because we know that God is satisfied, that it is complete. The transaction has taken place. And that's the big picture. Jesus had to die because it was part of this larger, grand story of redemption. Now, you and I have subplots in this bigger picture, in this big story. We have our lives, and from the time that we believe God is shaping us and preparing us for an eternity with him, he is equipping us for heaven. And so why is it that these challenges come up in our lives that we want to focus on, that are a piece of the puzzle? When we see them in the context of God preparing us for eternity, then we can see how this fits into that and creates this larger picture of redemption, of restoring everything that's broken. And yet sometimes those problems, those pieces in our lives are so significant that we can't look beyond them. But when that happens, I encourage you to take a step back. Think of the resurrection. Because the resurrection is the prism that puts everything in life together to make sense. Because it is through the resurrection that God says, "I am satisfied with the crucifixion," which gives us confidence that sin is one day going to be done away with. And in the process, we are being equipped for eternity. Let the resurrection be the thing that helps us keep the big picture in focus and use what God brings into our lives to reflect him to the world that he is drawing to himself. He is risen.
He is risen.
Oh, yes, he is. Indeed, all that good stuff. Let's pray. God, we do thank you for making us a part of the big picture, helping us to hear the good news that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Help us to live as big picture people, seeing the roles that we play in this grand story of redemption. Help us, God, to listen to the prompting of your Holy Spirit to draw us to yourself. And as Jennifer was today, to declare that faith through being baptized. And once we've come to that point, God, help us to be people that shine brightly. And even when trials come along, let us use them to equip us for eternity. Thank you, God, for giving us the blessing, the privilege of it is to be a part of that, one small part in that grand story of redemption. Help us to play our parts well, but never get in front of Jesus, who is the star of the show. We thank you that the star is risen from the dead and that we have hope as well. In Jesus' name, amen.